a guten Erev Shabbos. This is Daniel Eisenberg here with the Daily Aliyah. I wanted to make sure that we got it out, so I'm not doing it after Mincha. I wanted to make sure we got it out before Shabbos. So today is Friday, therefore we're going to do the Shishi Aliyah, but it's also, well, we're not going to be doing a recording on Shabbos, so I'll send Shvi today as well. So yesterday, in Chamishi, we discussed the Karban Chatas, and in particular, the Karban Chatas of three parties, of the Kohen Gadol, of the Sanhedrin, and of the Nasi. And in Shishi, we begin with the Karban Chatas of the regular person, Im Nefesh, Achas, Techata, Vishkaga, Meyama, Aretz. A person, general person, sins. Again, sinning unintentionally, and Avera that if intentional, it would require kares. So he violates a lo sase unintentionally, b'shogeg, he will bring a karban chatas. As we explained, I think I mentioned briefly in the when we did Rishon on Sunday, Svarno explains just some of the depth of what's going on here, Ramban, also others, but Svarno points out that when a person brings a chatas, in particular chatas, unlike the ola, is not completely burnt up on the mizbeach, and unlike the shlamim, the owners don't get to eat any of it. The chatas is eaten, part of it is burnt up, but part of it is eaten by the kohanim. And what happens? The fats and the limbs are eaten by the kohanim. So as the Svarno explains, the limbs and fats of a person are symbolized by the limbs and fats of the karban he's bringing, because he's bringing himself, in a sense, as a karban. And when the limbs and fats are eaten by the Kohanim, they become part, physically, literally, part of the Kohanim. And therefore, his limbs and fats are part of the Kohanim, who are hopefully tzaddikim and hopefully doing mitzvos and not doing averos. And what he's doing is he's elevating his own limbs and fats. By symbolizing his limbs and fats going on the Mizbeach, he is making his, and then having them be eaten by the Kohanim, he is like achieving a tikkun of sorts for his body parts that sinned. After this, the Leah speaks about the karban olev yored. Now, olev yored is not a separate karban. It's really a category of karbanos. Olev yored shouldn't be confused with an ola. Karban olev yored means going up and going down. Basically, it's a type of karban where it's a mandatory karban that someone has to bring, but uniquely, it's only what he has to bring for this karban depends on his financial wealth, right? His well-being. If he's wealthier, he's going to bring an animal, sheep, goat. If he has less money, bring birds. If less than that, he'll bring a karban mincha. But these are categories of an olev yored. Now, an olev yored actually can be are either a karban chatas or a karban ola, not ole, ola, depending on the circumstance. So our parsha tells us about three averos that somebody can violate that will warrant an ole v'yored, meaning his chatas, what he has to bring for the chatas will depend on what he can afford. And the three averos are shvuos edos, withholding edos that he knows, shvuos bitoy, making a necessary shvua, and tumas mikdash v'kadshav, entering the base of mikdash, coming in contact with something that's kodesh, truma, while tameh. And for these three averos, he does have to bring the karban, but it's an olev yored of mercy in him. And in other places, there are really two other examples of where we base it on someone's wealth, by the metzoras karbanos and by a yoledas, a woman who gives birth, her karbanos as well. But these are the three that are mentioned in our aliyah. And that discussion of olev yored actually continues into Shvi, the seventh aliyah, tomorrow's aliyah, where where it talks about the bird karban and the mincha karban that someone will bring if they can only afford that, while the sheep of the karban olev yored is mentioned earlier. And finally, the parsha concludes with the last type of karban, the last category of karbanos, which is called the karban asham. The karban asham, which is usually translated as the guilt offering. It's interesting, the word asham, could be the etymology of the word asham, comes from asham. And this karban is similar to a karban chatas, but it's brought in three particular circumstances. It could be others as well, but these are the three that are mentioned in our parsha. It's one for Me'ila, somebody inadvertently uses property that's hektish for his own purposes, Me'ila, somebody who swears falsely regarding owing somebody money. He stole and then he swore falsely about it, so then he pays it back, and he also has to pay a chomesh, a fifth, and he has to bring this karban asham as well. It's interesting, you know, the connection between these two is seemingly that it's also, you know, molin behektish. It's also me'ila, to use God's name in vain and for false purposes. It's a complete misappropriation of God's name, just as much as me'ila is a misappropriation of God's property. And the last case is what we call an asham talui. The first two things that we mentioned were asham vadai, where it's a sin that vadai for sure brings, requires someone to bring a karban asham. But the asham talui is a pending karban asham. It's where someone did an avera accidentally that would warrant a karban chatas, but they're not sure if they actually did it or not. Like, they had a piece of chelev and shuman. They had two pieces of fat. One is kosher fat. One's not. They ate one of them. They don't know which one they ate. So they're not sure if they should bring a karban chatas or not. So then they bring the karban asham, and this is an asham talui. If it becomes clear to him that he did something wrong, then he would actually have to bring a karban chatas in the end. And that is the parsha. That is Shishi Shvi. Have a beautiful Shabbos, and we'll continue next Tzav, and that will begin on Sunday. Everybody have a beautiful and healthy, safe Shabbos.